Good morning. Guys, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. I'm thankful for the time of relaxation with my family. Thankful also for the church that we have brothers who can handle the Word of God, and thankful for Michael who preached last week. Be sure to encourage Michael from preaching the Word of God. Just a few housekeeping that we need to take care of. One is, as Brian mentioned, we do have our foundation class. For those of you who are interested in joining, being a member of this local church, please sign up and go through our foundation class. And next thing on the list is, if you guys were not with us last Wednesday for our members meeting, you missed out. If you're not in the habit of coming to the members meeting, please be sure to come and be a part of that. If you're a member, we discuss a lot of issues within our local church, the building itself. We discuss that the air condition on the youth side is out, has been out for a while. It will be $24,000 to fix. We also discussed we have electrical issues that will be $9,000 to fix in the youth building. We also discussed that the nursery air condition is on borrowed time. That will be about $20,000 to fix. That's over $50,000, I think. And in this building, we also discussed the air condition is going out. As a matter of fact, we have only one unit working right now, and that's that unit. So if you're hot over there, that means the air condition is not working. So you shouldn't be hot, because we make sure the day before to lower the temperature down to 65 degrees to make sure the entire church is cool. So just for you to understand this, $100,000 to fix air condition and electrical issues. The parsonage as well, we have some electrical issues that will probably be about $9,000. So it sounds overwhelming. It does. But we serve a great and a big God. A great and big God. What are we asking of you, from you, as members of this local church? Perhaps some of you guys have just walked in as visitors, and you're saying, man, they're talking about money. I could promise you this much. I'm not asking you for $54 million for me to buy a jet. I'm not even asking for you to buy a brand new car for me. I'm asking for you as the local church to take care of this building. I'm asking for you to give. Give out of the abundance of your heart. Give whatever the Lord is laying on your heart. I firmly believe that God can use his people to accomplish this great task. Now, we are in the process of applying for the Lario Foundation. There's a grant that they're usually try to give once a year, and we're applying for that. We're not sure if we're going to get it. We're not sure if we're going to get half the money. We're not sure what they're going to do. But one thing we are certain of is that God will provide for his people. God will provide for his people. How is that going to happen? I have no clue. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm like the Israelites, man, waiting to see how God's going to part the Red Sea. I'm like the Israelites waiting to see in the desert how God is going to provide food and send manna from heaven down to them. This is an impossible situation, but we serve a possible God. We serve a God who can meet our needs. So here are a few ways that we can do this. Give out of the abundance of your heart. And I was thinking, just practically, if 50 people decide to give $1,000, we meet half of that. If 100 people choose to give $1,000, we meet all of it. Now, with that said, give what the Lord is calling you to give. But nevertheless, this is practical, and we can do this together with the power and help of our God. Amen? Amen. The next thing is, it pertains to the passage of Scripture. As you notice, BJ read from chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. And the reason why is for us to get the context of Scripture. What I want us to focus on is verses 10 through 17. 10 through 17. This involves parables. Jesus then transitions from talking about the family, which Michael preached, to now he's talking about parables. And he mentioned seven parables in chapter 13 alone. The first is the parable of the sower. And we're going to see this a little bit more next week. But now, I want us to observe why parables. If Jesus is going to speak from now on in parables to the crowd, we need to understand what's the purpose of parables. So join me in turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15, as I read the text again. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15. Then the disciples, you can stand when you've arrived to the text, say, word, word. Please stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive.' For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears, they can barely hear. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Let's pray. Father, we serve an amazing God who sent his only son to die for his church. God, we know this. We know scripturally that this building is not the church. The church is God's people. But God, you have blessed us in a building to meet up, to worship you, to glorify your name. So God, we pray that you provide for your people. Provide for us to worship you. Provide for us to be, God, influenced to share Christ in this community. Provide for us so that we can let people know that God was the one who provided, not man, but God. Let us see your great work in this local church by providing. So teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not. And give us what we do not have. God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon, this morning's sermon, is The Purpose of Parables. The Purpose of Parables. What are parables? What are parables? Have you ever asked yourself this question? We see parables throughout the New Testament. Jesus often spoke in parables, and we need to ask ourselves, what are parables? Well, a parable is a story from real life or a real life situation from which a moral or spiritual truth is drawn. Parables are meant to evoke a response and to strike for a verdict. I like how the old Sunday school teacher basically defined a parable. He mentioned parables are earthly examples with heavenly meaning. Earthly examples with heavenly meaning. Now, parables are different than fables. If you think about fables, you think about Aesop fables. And most often what fables do is fable gives us this picture of animals disguised as people. That's not what parables are. Parables are real life situation, real people. Another example is parables differ from understanding allegories. So it's different than allegories. Allegories basically gives us a particular story or an incident, and every detail in that incident or story matters. A parable is not like that. Here are some examples of allegories. One in particular, we have the Pilgrim's Progress. It's basically allegory. C.S. Lewis, right? What is it called? It's called the Chronicles of Narnia. You remember that? The Chronicles of Narnia? That's all allegories. When we think about parables, they are not fables. They are not allegories. Basically, they're a real life situation with real meaning. And we have to be careful not to look at a parable like an allegory and see every detail in a parable to mean something. We have to be careful not to do that. A perfect example of this is St. Augustine, the great early church father, who looked at the Good Samaritan and allegorized everything in the Good Samaritan. He said the man, the certain man, that Jew, was Adam. He looked at Jerusalem and he said it was the good city. Basically, every aspect of the Good Samaritan, Augustine looked at it and said he allegorized everything about it. We need to be careful, brothers and sisters, coming closer, that we don't do the same thing with parables. Parables have a main point. Jesus is using parables as an illustration to point to something. And in this very text, I want you to observe something with me. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, the four Gospels, mentioned 27 parables. 27 parables. Now, they can be divided in three main categories. Parables address three main things. For example, the first thing, I have it up there for you to see. The first thing is, some parables teach us about the king of the kingdom. The manner in which he deals with his subjects as it clear from the laborer in the vineyard. We see this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. The marriage of the king's son, Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. The talents, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. You see, the parables teach us about the king of the kingdom, who is Jesus. That's a beautiful thing about the parable. The second thing is, the parable address or teach us about the citizens of God's kingdom, the character that we ought to have. A perfect example of this is the Good Samaritan. In Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37. The persistent widow in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And third, the third category, the third thing that parables address and teach us is that some parable teach us about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And this is exactly what we have in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus lists seven parables that teach us about the kingdom of God. Do you see it? So, brothers and sisters, I want you to see in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 15, the disciples asked Jesus a very important question. A question, perhaps, that many of you are asking this morning. Why do you teach in parables? Why don't you just teach plainly to them, Jesus? If you're asking this question, I want you to observe that Jesus gives the answer to this question. For example, the purpose for parables are twofold, and these will be our two points this morning. First, parables are given to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to believers. Do you see it in the Bible? Do you see it in the text? He helps us see this in verses 10 through 11 and then 16 through 17. So the parable are given to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to God's people. At the same time, the second point I want you to see, parables are given to conceal the secrets of the kingdom to unrepentant unbelievers. Unrepentant unbelievers. It's meant to conceal the secrets of the kingdom. Where do you get this from? We see this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. I love what Terry Johnson mentioned concerning this. He mentions this. Pay close attention to this. Come in closer and observe this. The parables illuminate the truth for those with the key, but obscure and confuse the same truth for those whom the explanation is not given. Did you get this? This is exactly what Jesus is doing here. those that God's mercy have saved, the parable becomes a great nugget. It becomes something great. It illuminates. It helps them see Christ for who he is. And those who are unrepentant, the parable judges. Which are you this morning? Are you saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? Then grab hold of the parables of Jesus and see more of the king and his kingdom and the citizens of his kingdom. Maybe you're not saved this morning and you want to know more about the glory of Christ. Listen, the parables can help you see more about the king, his kingdom, and the citizens of his kingdom. But if you are here this morning and you're unrepentant and you have hardened your hearts, the truth of God's word has been concealed. You're not able to see. You're not able to hear because your hearts are hardened. My prayer is that you will turn from that and turn to the glorious truth within God's word. Notice with me the first point. The first point. What's the purpose of the parables? To reveal the secrets of the kingdom to believers. Now, if you notice in the text specifically, we see in verse 10, the disciples came to Jesus asking this question. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" Now, this is not the first time Jesus spoke in parables. We know that he spoke in parables in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, the parable of the two builders. And then in Matthew chapter 11, he talked about the unclean spirits. In chapter 12, I'm sorry. The unclean spirits. And he gives us a parable about the unclean spirit. When this man has been freed from this unclean spirit, the unclean spirit goes, finds seven more unclean spirits, and come back. That's a parable. But more specifically, Jesus chooses to speak in parables now. Why is that? Why now? And there's a reason why. It is because the people have hardened their hearts even more. Do you notice in chapter 11 of the cities that Jesus went and they were unrepentant? Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. They were unrepentant. These cities were the headquarter of Jesus' ministry. And yet they saw the miracles of Jesus. They heard the word of Jesus. They saw who Jesus was and they chose to reject him. They were very defiant. And this is exactly why Jesus is speaking in parables, brothers and sisters. Don't miss this. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, see in your own Bibles what it mentions. It says, "All these things Jesus said to the crowd in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable." Because of their hardened hearts, Jesus spoke in parables. Jesus did not want to go deeper with a group of people who rejected him. However, on the other hand, his disciples wanted to know more, and Jesus spoke in parables so that they could know more about the kingdom of heaven. Know more about the king. Know more about the king's citizens. Notice with me as well what Matthew 13, 36 mentioned. See for yourself. Every time Jesus gave a parable, he gave it to the crowd, but he explained it to his disciples. Notice, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and the disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.'" In Mark, parallel account. This is what Mark tells us about Jesus speaking in parables. Mark chapter 4, verse 33 through 34. He says, "He did not speak to them without a parable." That's the crowd. But here it goes. "But privately, to his own disciples, he explained everything." Everything. So here's another important question. What are the secrets of the kingdom? What is it that Jesus is revealing and concealing? The word mystery here refers to something that was hidden in the Old Testament, but now made known in the New Testament. It was something that was concealed, but now is being revealed. And what exactly is it that Jesus is revealing to his disciples? Well, three main things. One, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, the Jewish people knew of the King that would come. They knew that the Messiah would come. But different details about the Messiah, they had no clue as to what he will do. Will he die on the cross? Will he free them from their oppression from the Roman people? They didn't know any of these things. But here we notice that Jesus is revealing the secrets of the kingdom to them, to the disciples. How many times do we notice in the gospel that Jesus is saying to his disciples, I will go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind? That's the secret of the kingdom. He also revealed to them the attitude that the citizens must have, those who belong to the kingdom. For example, the Beatitudes. It's all about how we ought to be, who we are, the attitude that we should have. And Jesus, we find, is teaching his disciples such. Don't miss this. And coming closer, they cannot be seen unless they are revealed, cannot be known unless they are explained. That's the secrets of the kingdom. And only one person can reveal this, and that's Jesus. Don't miss this. The Greek word for secret here in the New Testament, it's used to indicate that God's truth comes only by revelation and not by natural insight. A perfect example of this is Scripture. When the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, pay close attention to this. He mentions, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You cannot know Jesus by your natural insight, by your logics. You can only know Jesus through his revelation, by him granting that revelation to you. I love what the old commentator mentioned, Matthew Henry. Right here, he noted, Christ's incarnation, satisfaction, intercession, our justification and sanctification by union with Christ, and indeed the whole work of redemption from first to last, are mysteries which could never be discovered by divine, but by divine revelation. Brothers and sisters, when I read this text, I see the grace of God. For those of you who are saved and able to comprehend the word of God and are serving God, it wasn't by your choice, but by the sovereign grace of God that he saved you, that you are able to see clearly and hear. It is because of the mercy of God. Do you see it in the text? Notice in verses 16 through 17 that the mercy of God permeates this text. See for yourself. Verses 16 through 17, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. You know, when I read this text, I see of the great privilege that we do have as believers, the privilege of hearing Christ when he says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But notice in your own Bibles, not all have this great privilege. Do you see this? In verse 9, Jesus mentioned, in verse 9, after sharing the parable of the sower, he mentioned, he who have ears to hear, let him hear. And what Jesus is really doing is saying, be careful how you hear the word of God, because how you hear his word will determine how you receive his word. And some people have hardened their hearts, and they're not able to hear God's word clearly. But for those of you who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he allowed you to hear him. He gave you that ability to hear him and to change. Brothers and sisters, don't miss this. And come in closer and write this down. A true knowledge of God is only to be gained through self-revelation of God in His Word. I'll say it again. A true knowledge of God is only to be gained through the self-revelation of God in His Word. Have you ever wondered? Think about it. Have you ever wondered, believers, saints, beloved, why you? Why is it that you are able to understand the secrets of the kingdom, that Jesus died on the cross, that Jesus saved me, that there is forgiveness in Christ, when there are so many that are not able to understand that very concept? Have you ever asked yourself this? It's because of the mercy of God. It's not because of you. It's not because of your righteousness. It's not because of your intellect. It's not because of your upbringing. It's not even because of your church. It's because of the mercy and grace of God. And this is exactly what Jesus mentioned. It has been granted to you to know these things. Thank God for this. But can I ask you a question? What are you doing with this great privilege? What are you doing with this great privilege of knowing the revelation of Jesus Christ, man? Are you sitting on it? Or are you proclaiming it? Or are you living for Jesus boldly? Are you obedient? Or are you lackadaisically, man? Just walking around. Like everything is fine. Whatever. I'm going to heaven. Brothers and sisters, when I read this text and I see of this great mercy that God has bestowed upon us, that God has given us great privilege, that is calling me to serve Him even greater. I notice the idols in my own life. I notice my complacency and my laziness. I notice how much I'm not sharing Christ like I should, but He's blessed me with great privilege of knowing Him, the secrets of His kingdom. What am I doing with this great privilege? What are you doing with it? My prayer is that we are faithfully sharing Christ. But notice in the text as well of the great mercy that He has given us. He has given us this great mercy because He has called us out. He has granted us this mercy and grace when others don't have it. But He has also blessed us with grace and mercy because the very thing that the Old Testament prophets longed to see, we are able to see right now. Do you get this? Elijah, Moses, Isaiah, they all long to see what we are seeing right now. They long to know what we know right now. What great truth. And I don't want you to miss this. And come in closer and listen. Listen to this. When you are able to see clearly concerning the secrets of the kingdom, the Old Testament saints saw dimly. Do you get this? This is a great joy. Why is it that I am able to know more about Christ, about His kingdom, and how I ought to live the Christian life better than Moses and Elijah? It is because of grace. And here's the question. What are you doing with this grace? What are you doing with this grace? Notice with me the second point. We've seen the first purpose of the parable, which is to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to believers. Let's take a look at the second purpose, which is to conceal the secrets of the kingdom to unrepentant unbelievers. Notice with me in verse 11 and 12. See your own Bibles. In verse 11, he mentions this. And he says, "And he answered to them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, notice with me what Jesus is doing. Come in closer and don't miss this. Because he just mentioned God's sovereign election. God is sovereign in choosing and revealing who he is to people. But here, he also gives us man's responsibility. You see it. This text is all about human responsibility. If we choose to reject Jesus, it's not because of Jesus, but it's because of our own choice. This is exactly what Jesus is doing here. The one who has, more will be given. The one who doesn't have, what he has will be taken from him. Now, this is a very natural principle. And this is a proverb that Jesus is sharing right here. And let me explain this proverb for you. It's a natural principle. For example, we talk about athletes, right? Let's say we like to play golf. Well, the only way I can get better at playing golf is by playing golf, is by practicing golf. If I don't practice, what happens? I end up losing my skill. I gotta practice right and practice and practice and practice. But if one time I was playing for a season and for some reason I stopped playing golf, I'm gonna lose my skill, right? This is a natural principle. Another example of this is instruments, right? For some of you who know how to play the guitar, maybe you learned how to play the guitar when you were younger and you stopped playing and you decided you wanted to play again. What happens? You forget how to play. You lose that skill. Another example are languages. For those of you who have learned different languages, perhaps you speak French like I do. I grew up speaking English and French. And you know, it's quite embarrassing because when I talk to my grandmother and I talk to my mom now, I've forgotten a lot of words. I'm speaking to my grandmother and she's like, yeah, you're so Americanized right now. Like, it's horrible. I don't understand anything you're saying. Like, it's not Creole French anymore. I was like, Granny, I'm sorry. I don't get to practice it. I don't get to practice it. Jesus' point here is this. If you don't get to use it, you lose it. And here is a great responsibility. For those who have, it will be added to them. But those who don't have, it will be taken away from them. And he's talking specifically to the Jewish people. They have a great opportunity of knowing Jesus. Great opportunity of understanding Jesus. And the little that they had will be taken away from them. This is what he means by concealing the mysteries of the kingdom. Why is that? It's because of their hardened hearts. Guys, don't miss this. Come in closer and listen very carefully to this. Jesus is saying, because of their hardened hearts, because they are not willing to repent, because they are seeking greater things or things in the world rather than him, Jesus is not going to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to them. Now, let's just stop. Is that you? Is that you? Have you repented? Have you turned away from your sins? Have you trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior? Come in closer and write this down. Parables are a form of teaching that both enlighten the believing and judge the unbelieving. I'll say it again. Parables are a form of teaching that both enlighten the believing and judge the unbelieving. Notice in your text exactly what he does then. He transitioned and he quotes from Isaiah. And he tells us that Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled. In other words, Jesus is saying, look at you guys. You guys have rejected God's purpose over and over and over and over. And your rejection has reached its climax by rejecting me, the Son of God. But notice what he does. He quotes from Isaiah, and this is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 10. And he says, indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear and not or never understand. You will indeed see and never perceive. They have the word of God, and yet they're not able to understand the word of God. Notice again what he mentioned in verse 15. For the people's heart has grown dull, and their ears they have barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I will heal them. Stop. You know what picture Jesus has given us here? This is the picture that as Jesus is preaching and teaching about the kingdom, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. Purposefully saying, we don't want to see and we don't want to hear. Why? Why are they acting this way? Because Jesus mentioned they don't want to be healed. They rather their sins, they rather their corrupt lives, and not the purpose of Jesus. Do you see it? They don't want to be healed. Sin may be like a disease, but people decline to be healed of it. I couldn't imagine anyone in this room right now would say to themselves, man, if you know that there is a cure for cancer and you know you have cancer, that you would say, I don't want the cure. That would be madness. That would be insane. So many of us know of our relatives that has cancer right now or is going through it right now. We're praying that God heal them. And for someone to say, I have cancer, I don't want to be healed. I don't want anything. It's just crazy to imagine. But this is exactly what people are doing every day when it comes to sin. They're saying, we don't want to be healed from this sin. We don't want Jesus' purpose for our lives. Brothers and sisters, this is exactly what Jesus is doing here. We see this in our world today, in America today, in our communities today, in our neighborhoods today, how people are saying they rather they sin than Jesus. And if we continue down that road, the purpose of the kingdom will be concealed. Pray for people like that. If you're in this room and that's you, one day it will be too late. And you have to blame yourself and not God. So, notice with me how we ought to understand this. Parables are gifts. They're gifts to us as believers. As we think about parables, as we observe what parables are teaching us, they're teaching us about the kingdom of God. They're teaching us about the King Jesus himself. They're teaching us about the character that we should have. Let us embrace parables. Be careful. Be careful not to focus on every detail of the parable that leads us into false doctrine. But let us understand the point of the parable and thank God for who he is. But if you're an unrepentant unbeliever, parables are judging you. They are judging you. And the secrets of those parables are concealed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the wisdom of our Savior. That God, even 2,000 years ago, as Jesus walked with people and talked, that God, he saw the hardened hearts of people, those who consistently rejected Christ. But on the other hand, he saw his disciples hungry and thirsty for your word. And parables are meant to reveal and meant to conceal. But I thank you that, God, we are partakers of your grace. And we are experiencing your mercy. Those of us who have trusted in you, those of us, we have a relationship with you, that we are able, Father, to enjoy the truths within the parables, understand the truths within the parables. So God, I pray that we can study the parables and glorify your name even more, Father. If there's any in this room that have not repented, have not yet trusted in you, allow them to turn from their sins and turn to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We love you. We worship you. Amen. Amen. Please stand. Please respond to the word of God. As we have learned about parables, and we'll learn more about parables, please, throughout the week, pray that God will give you insight, if you're a believer, revelation, to understand more about his word. And for those of you who are not saved, we would love to pray with you. Turn to Jesus, because he's a great high priest who loves you and he wants to save you. Please respond to God's word.